Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
One of the joys of Christmas is the Christmas lights. I remember as a child, that was an exciting thing. Wednesday night after church or Sunday night after church, and we'd all pile in the car when Mother or Dad would say, "Let's go look at the lights, the Christmas lights." I want to use that as an illustration that fits right where we are in our study in the book of Ephesians. Paul says, "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Why do we enjoy those lights? Well, they can turn a cold, dreary winter's evening and fill it with warmth and cheer, can't they? And that's what we need to be in this world, like a string of lights out in this dark, cold world. And yet, those Christians out there, where they are, there is light. And the Bible talks about such things associated with darkness as being evil and ignorance and spiritual death and sin. And yet, in our passage, light is associated with goodness and righteousness and truth. In this physical world, in the beginning, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And from this good light, this physical light that streams through our windows, this good light that God has made for this physical world, He uses that to help show us some spiritual truths about light. Christ is the true light. That's the first point. John chapter 1 and verse 4, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of man, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." I read a little bit later in verse 10 that He was in the world, and the world knew Him not. So it's true, they didn't really understand what this was that appeared to them. The American Standard Version will put, "The darkness apprehended it not." What does that mean? Well, think of the nature of light and darkness. Darkness doesn't chase the light away. Light chases the darkness away. Darkness is there because of the absence of light. But when the light shines, the darkness doesn't hold the light back. The light pushes the darkness back. And so also Christ, He came. Whether those people of this world understood what Christ was here for or not, He didn't stop Christ from accomplishing His purpose of bringing the light of God's truth and the understanding of who God was to this world. And so the darkness did not overcome that. Jesus was preaching in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "The people that sat in darkness saw a great light." In the prophecy of Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2, it says that the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in His wings. Now that word wings seems kind of strange. It probably ought to be translated the beams, the sunbeams. It's the sun, not S-O-N. It says S-U-N. The S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, will arise with healings in those sunbeams, is really what it's talking about. That old dark, damp night, and the light dawns. That day of Christ arrives and that sunshine comes and warms this earth and drives those evil vapors away. And so also is the coming of the Son of God to this world. In John 1 and verse 9, "That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world." In John chapter 8 and verse 21, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In John chapter 12, verse 35 and 36, "While you have the light, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. And that's in our text. Ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And we'll look at that expression here in just a moment. Christ is the true light. And the gospel is what is preached that enlightens our hearts and our souls. That's the second point. When the apostles were sent out to preach in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, the purpose was to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light. And from the power of Satan into the power of God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, those who responded to the gospel, it is said, He hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness through the preaching of the gospel, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. That's not an exact quote, but that's what he's talking about. God had commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. And spiritually, He's called the gospel to go forth, to shine in our hearts, so that we might understand the glory of God. And then Ephesians 1, 17 and 18, the Father of glory may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your heart being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling and the riches of His glory in the exceeding greatness of His power. And having written that in the book of Ephesians, you come on over to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. He then says, Ye are light in the Lord. So that's the third point. Christ is the true light and brings the gospel that shines the light of God's truth and who God is and what God desires and what God would have us know, shines that into our hearts, and then we go forth as lights into this world. And that's why I think of those Christmas lights. Think of those Christmas lights shining out of the darkness. That's the kind of way Christians ought to be in this world. Letting their light shine. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Where Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, how does that go? I know it says, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But he done that after the illustration of the You're the light of the world. And no man lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, but puts it on a candlestick for all to see. And you're a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And so let that light shine. And that means that where we as Christians go, we should be sending forth that light of found in this passage, those characteristics of goodness and righteousness and truth. Philippians 2 and verse 15, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Walk as children of light. That's the latter part of verse 8. You're lights in the world, in the Lord. Now walk as children of light. Children take on the characteristics of their parents. And so take on those characteristics of light. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Everything about God is good. There's no secret little corners or shadows or crannies of darkness when it comes to God. Neither should it be with us. We need to take on those characteristics of our Father in heaven and walk as children of light. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5. You are all the children of light and children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. And then let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 10. Continuing with this text, it says, We are to prove what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, or some of your translations will say expose them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And so as we go out into this dark world and shine forth that goodness and righteousness and truth by the very manner in which we live, which is what's meant by the word walk, it really shows how dark the darkness is, doesn't it? It really helps make the contrast between that which is dark and that which is light. Now this last verse here in our text is interesting. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now who said that? Well, is that a lot of time when we read that expression, we expect that to be said in the Old Testament. And some have said, well, maybe this is a reference to Isaiah chapter 60. Now listen to what Paul said, but now listen to what Isaiah said, and there's some similarities here, but it's not really a quote. In Isaiah 60 it says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord riseth upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen in thee, and to the Gentiles shall come thy light, to kings, the brightness of thy rising. Well, it's similar in thought, but I wouldn't say that's a quotation. Now, it's true that sometimes the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, would take liberties with what he had earlier said. Now, the Holy Spirit can do that. And so it says this and didn't say exactly like that, but it's another way the Holy Spirit would have said that, and so that may be what this is. But I wonder, could Paul have been quoting himself? He writes this in the book of Ephesians. But before he wrote the book of Ephesians, he wrote the book of 1 Thessalonians. If you go to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night, but let us who are of the day be sober. Well, again, it's not an exact quote, but it's a similar way of expression. And again, before he wrote the book of Ephesians, he wrote the book of 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 34, he says it real quickly, he says this, awake to righteousness, and sin not. Again, that's similar. Perhaps it's this, because before Paul wrote the book of Ephesus, he had written the book of Romans. In the book of Romans, chapter 13, and beginning in verse 11, he says this, and that knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in riot and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision to fulfill the flesh with the lust thereof. Again, it is similar. He wouldn't say it's a quotation, but if Paul meant by that what he'd said, then he'd say, wherefore he said to awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. But there's another proposition that's put forth by the commentators, and they do this without any evidence, but just their speculation. And that is that these words may have been the words of an early Christian hymn. Well, I thought about that, and I thought if it was a hymn, then there would be some poetry here. I got down by Greek and looked at the Greek to try to see what kind of poetry that I might find from the words in the Greek, and that's a difficult thing to do, I know. But what Paul says there has three lines of progressive syllables. Now, in the Greek, not necessarily in English, but in the Greek, it is seven syllables, eight syllables, nine syllables. Those first two lines are very poetic in the poetry of that day, and it's a parallel of thought. Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead. Now, the third line completes the thought. And Christ shall give thee light. But that third line also would be worded a little different if we took the words direct, and it would say, and will shine upon you Christ. And the fact that the word Christ is at the very end of this little triplet is the fact that it's really pointing and emphasizing Christ in the whole thing. And so it is a very short but very poetic piece in the way that it is structured in that. And so may very well have been, as has been suggested, speculated, an early hymn. But we may never know the source of what Paul was talking about when he said, wherefore he saith. But we know the teaching. There's no question what he's teaching. Here's the lesson. Christ is the true light. And through the preaching of the gospel, the light of God's truth shines in our hearts. And we are to believe that and follow that, and living in accordance with that, we go forth as lights in this world.